Ezekiel chapter 47. The title of the message is The River of the Gospel. The River of the Gospel. Scripture says, "And afterward he brought me again into the door of the house. And behold, water issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the foregate of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar." Now let me begin by giving you an overview of this whole chapter. I'm going to go through several of these verses with you, but just giving you an outline of the whole chapter so you can have a clear picture of what is going to happen here. The prophet here is in the house of God. He is in the temple, the tabernacle of God. He is in the holy place. He is inside the house of God. And he is not in the Holy of Holies, but rather in the outer room where the priests perform their daily offerings. The showbread and the laver and the candle were in the holy place. And the other side of that veil was the Holy of Holies. And the prophet here in this room, he sees coming from underneath the veil a trickle of water. He sees water flowing from the right side of the veil. And as it comes out to the door, it comes out of the house of God, it goes by the altar, and it goes out toward the south. And then he meets a man on the outside who has a measuring stick. And this man, he measures the water 1,000 cubits, which means he goes about 1/3 of a mile. He measures the water. And then the prophet notices the water's at his ankles. He goes 1/3 of a mile and he measures again. And the water's at his waist. He goes 1/3 of a mile and he measures it and the water's up to his chest. And then he throws 1/3 of a mile and then the water is overflowing. He said it's a river. And he comes to the bank. He's brought out of the water. Comes to the bank and he's looking at this river that started out as a trickle. And now it is an exceeding great river that flows. And he notices a beautiful picture. He sees fishermen on the side casting their nets. He sees trees along the side with their fruits, and these fruits are so ripe and they don't fail. In other words, there's no rotten fruit in it at all. The leaves are for healing. And he sees this river as it flows through the desert land, and it comes out into a great sea. Beautiful picture. What is this? What is this vision? We know this. This is a spiritual vision. It's a vision of spiritual things. Every one of these things has a spiritual application. The river is spiritual. The trees, the water, the fish, the fishermen, and the sea, the desert, all have their spiritual application in this vision. But the main thing, the thing that runs through the whole vision is what? The water. It's the water is the center of this vision. Now, we may see this water in three different things. I've got three different things that this water could most likely picture. And I believe every one of them could make a case for it. The love of God. It's not the love of God as a mighty ocean, a mighty river. It flows from God. It flows out through the altar. It flows out to man who is in the desert. The love of God. It is a mighty ocean. You could make that case. The Spirit of God. There's one. Out of their belly shall flow rivers of what? Living water. The Spirit of God is most definitely a picture, could be pictured by this river. But the last one is the Gospel of Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that it is the Gospel of Jesus Christ most clearly pictured here because the love of God and the Spirit of God are all included in the Gospel. They're all included. They're all in the Gospel of Christ. And so that's how I wish to show you that this river is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of Christ. The Scripture says in Zechariah, "And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half toward the former sea, half toward the hinder sea. The summer and winter shall it be." In other words, it's going everywhere. This gospel, when that fountain flows, when Christ was to come, and that's what the center of the gospel is, when Christ was to come, that fountain, it was going to flow, and not just in one direction, but in every direction. That's what happened when the gospel, when Christ came, wasn't it? The gospel went everywhere. This is the gospel. Paul says this in Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, his church, with the washing of the water by the Word. So what's the water? It is the Word of God, the gospel of Christ. And so then, seeing that this river is the gospel, I want to see three things about this river. First of all, the origin. What is the origin of the river? What is the origin of the gospel? Secondly, I want to see the outpouring of the gospel. How does this gospel flow? We know it comes from God, but how does it outpour to man? How does it come to man? And thirdly, the operation of the water. What is the work of the gospel? What is the result of the preaching of the gospel of Christ? So first, the origin. The origin. He said he was in the house, and the waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. As you can see him in that holy place, he sees the water coming out from the Holy of Holies, from underneath that veil. That's where the water originated, was in the veil. Now we know this. That was the place where God dwelt. When God said He would meet with Israel and make an atonement for sin, it was there in the Holy of Holies that the Shekinah glory descended over the Ark of the Covenant. It was the presence of God. Now this river, I love this. This river is the same one that's pictured in Revelation. It says, "And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal." Listen, where it came from? Proceeding out of the throne of God. So what's the origin of this river? It comes from God. It comes from God. And what comes from God? The river, which is the gospel. It is the gospel. And listen, the gospel is a covenant. The gospel can be described most clearly as a covenant. As God covenanted with Himself for the people of Israel, for His people. He says in Jeremiah 32, "I will make an everlasting covenant." An everlasting covenant with them. "I will not turn away from them to do them good. I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. And I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and my whole soul." You listen, this gospel originated with God. It is an everlasting covenant, an eternal covenant. And it came from God. It came out from God. This gospel, when did it begin? It began an everlasting covenant of grace. The gospel of God's grace in Christ. God, before the world, planned this gospel. As though He had an architect. You don't build something without some design, without some plan. And God, my friend, had a plan. He had a plan, a covenant that He would make. He planned and purposed all things concerning this gospel and agreed with Himself to accomplish and fulfill all that He purposed to do for His people. And this is an eternal covenant. This river is an eternal river. Its source is God. It's eternal. It's a covenant, and it's a covenant of free grace. This covenant was one of grace. He said, "I will make." Now, who determined to make this covenant? God did. Why would He determine to do such a thing? He said, "I will do them good. I will love them. I will save them." Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. This was always the plan, isn't it? Now, the false gospel, they got an idea that God made some mistake. That, look, Adam wasn't supposed to sin. That he had to come up with a secondary plan. No! My God always purposed to save by Christ. Never by Adam. Never by works. Always by grace. It's a covenant of grace. And you listen, this covenant, this river, was only for the elect. It was only for the elect of God. He said, I will make with them an everlasting covenant. This covenant is very specific. It is for a specific and a particular people. God says when He sent Christ, He said this, that He shall save His people. Very particular. His people. No one else. His people. From their sin. This was the covenant of grace. And there was nothing but the love of God that motivated Him to make such a covenant. There was nothing that He saw or ever would see in us that would move Him. But in free grace, He purposed to save His people. And this covenant that is for the elect, this covenant of grace, this eternal covenant, was for their good. He said, I will do them, listen, good. Good. What will God do for His elect? I will do them good. That's what I purpose to do. This covenant of grace is good. Praise to be to God for His goodness toward men. Now, I want you to pay attention. If God had never covenanted to save His elect, then there would be no salvation. There would be no water flowing from the throne of God. There would be no love of God displayed to man if God had not purposed to give it. God had not ordained it before the world was. And so then we who are saved by this goodness, we know this, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according. And the center of this covenant, what's the center of this covenant? It's an eternal covenant. It comes from God. It's a covenant of grace and mercy for the elect. And what is the center and theme of the covenant? The gospel. The river. What is the center of the river of this gospel? It is Christ. What was the center of the room from which this water flowed? What was in the center? The Ark of the Covenant. You remember that box? It was made of wood, uncorruptible wood, overlaid with gold, and the gold lid over the top, and inside were the rod that budded, and then you had the manna, and then you had that unbroken law. This all pictures Christ. Wood and gold, God and man. He is the mercy seat on which the blood was sprinkled. In His flesh He shed His blood. And it was the deity of Christ that upheld Him under the wrath of God for our sins. Inside was the unbroken law of God. He kept that law, and in Him budded. He is the manna. He is the bread of life. You see how all that pictures Christ. And so what is the center of this river? We know it flows from God. We know it's of the grace of God. We know the gospel flows from the eternal covenant of God. But what is the center and sum and source of this gospel? It is Christ. He centered everything about this covenant in Christ. Everything. The whole covenant of grace is dependent upon Christ. Everything. The accomplishment, the salvation, the good that He would do is all dependent upon the work and completion of this covenant by the Son of God for the elect. Everything. I like that in Isaiah 9. It says, unto us a child is born. Humanity. Unto us a Son is given, deity. And the government, His church, the salvation of His church shall be upon His shoulders. And what is He called? Wonderful Counselor. By the church, He's called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His kingdom, there shall be no end. This is the one in whom the covenant... And listen, the movement of this water, this gospel moves only by the impulse of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Just as the Father chose to save a people in the covenant, the Son agreed to be their surety. It is in the covenant of God's mercy that the Holy Spirit agreed to make this manifest to the elect. God, the Holy Spirit, promised that He would cause life to come into all of those Christ redeemed. But how? What is this means of the Holy Spirit to make manifest? By the river. By the gospel of God. By the revelation. Now, then, if that water stayed behind that veil, Ezekiel would have never known there was a river back there. But because it flowed, he was able then to see. This is what the Spirit of God does, is He moves men in old to declare the gospel. Peter said this, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God as they spake, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So now then we see where the origin of the gospel comes from. It's a covenant of God. It's a covenant made by the Father for an elect people. It is a covenant centered in the work and person of Jesus Christ to save them. It is the covenant of the Spirit of God to come in time and reveal the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the elect. Now then, let's deal with the outpouring of it. Now, with this outpouring of the water, the prophet sees the water issuing from the threshold. Look at this in verse 1 again. "After he brought me to the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold." This is none other than the Holy Spirit issuing forth the Word of God's eternal counsel. Now, friends, how could men know the eternal counsel of God unless God pour it out to you? Unless God make it known to you? And this was always God's purpose, to make it known to man what He would do. His prophet saw the water coming from the sanctuary, but I want you to see this. It's important to know that this, it didn't first come out gushing. It came out as a trickle. Small, slow stream came out. Very little. Very little it started issuing out, then all of a sudden it come out. And then you see the man with the measuring stick, and he goes out and he measures 1,000 cubits, and he comes to the ankles. Then it comes to the knees, it comes to the waist, it comes to the chest, and then it's overflowing. I want you to see that this is the progression of the gospel. The progressive revelation of the gospel as it is revealed by the Holy Spirit. What was the first prophecy? "The seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent, and he shall bruise his heel." Does that sound very clear? That sound like a gushing well of information? No, it's very little. They had very little. But what they had, they believed. They trusted what God had given them concerning Christ. That He should come as the seed of the woman. That's why she said when she had Cain, "I behold, I have a man child." She thought that was Him. Now, was it? But they trusted that Christ should come. They believed the word that they had. Then you go along a little bit further and you see the lamb, the Passover lamb, and how it was slain. You see them going through the Red Sea. You see them fighting in the land of Canaan. You see all of this as pictures and types and shadows. Then the law is given. All of this are pictures of Christ. Remember, He said, "Search the Scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of Me." And so you see that as a progression, right? The gospel gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so, as it went along, so it progresses over time. Even so, when Jesus Christ came into the world, now then what do you have? You have an exceeding great river. You have an exceeding great river. when he died and rose again, remember that there was only 120 in that upper room. How many believe since then? You not see the expansion of this gospel, how it has expanded? Remember, he said, when that fountain shall be opened, it shall go toward the north, it shall go toward the south. It's going to go everywhere. And that's what happened, didn't it? That's exactly what happened. But I want you to notice the path of this outpouring. Where did it go? Where is this gospel going? Look at verse 8. And he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down to the desert. They go into the sea and bring forth into the sea, and the waters shall be healed. And it came to pass that everything that liveth and moveth whithersoever the river shall come shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish because of the waters shall come thither, and they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. Whither the river cometh. Where is this river going? It's going to the desert. It's going to the desert. The river flowed down to the desert into the sea. This signifies the gospel of God's grace as it moves through the wastelands of the Gentiles. Remember, that's exactly where God had intended long ago, that it not only be kept in that little family of the Jewish nation, but that God would break forth this gospel and the Gentiles should believe and there should be multitudes that come in and live. But even more than this outpouring to the Gentiles, this speaks spiritually to the heart of man. What is your heart but a desert? What do you think of when you think of a desert? A barren, lifeless place of death where there is no water. This is what man is. He is a barren desert in his heart, and he cannot produce life. He cannot produce life. Not until this river of grace flows to his heart. God says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price." What is he talking about? Forgiveness of sins, pardon and peace with God. Where's this found? Life. Where's life found? It's found in the water. It's found in Christ. Faith in Christ. Have you not seen the barrenness of your own soul? Have you not looked around and seen the barrenness of this life? Have not you had your dreams and desires crushed? Every time you think something is well, everything's going to be well, and all of a sudden it's not. You found that in this life is vanity and vexation of spirit. You think that one thing is going to please you and it never does. It's a barren wilderness. And so is your heart. Do you need forgiveness? Are you thirsty after God? To be accepted of Him. Then you must come without money and without price. Look at verse 11. But. Now wherever this river flows, it brought life. But. The miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. What does this mean? This is religion. Religion has a little water. It doesn't have a river. It has a little water. But what do you put with a little water and dirt? What do you get? Mud. Mud. I remember when someone told me this, that the head of Southern Baptist was once asked, "When do you think the Southern Baptist is going to split?" He said, "Sir, you can't split mud." What do they got? They got mud. That's all they got. God said mud won't be healed. Religion deals in half-truths. But all they are is a marsh, a puddle of confusion. And that's what free will works religion is. But God will not heal them. But rather the gospel goes not to those who have little water, but those who have none. Isn't that good? Desert don't have any water. Who among us has righteousness? No, not one. No, not one. Well, good. This is where the river goes. It goes to those who have no righteousness. To those of us who know the barrenness of our own heart. And wherever this river goes, life is given. And wherever this river goes, it reveals Christ, doesn't it? It reveals Christ. Christ is the river. Christ is the river, isn't He? There is a river that flows from God above. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Christ is the river. Christ is the river. He says there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. The gospel preaches us to us Christ. The gospel heals dead, dry sinners. And so we see then the origin of it. We see the outpouring of it. That this gospel is intended to save sinners. That this gospel is sent of God to heal the desert lands. This gospel is Christ. And you should believe on Him. You should trust in Him. You should lean your soul on Him. And you shall be refreshed. You shall be refreshed. You'll be healed. Forgiven of sin. And so then, let's see the operation of this water. It says in verse 9, "It shall come to pass that everything that liveth with moveth, whithersoever the rivers come, shall live. And there shall be a great multitude of fish, and these waters shall come, and they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fisher shall stand upon it from Engedi, even from Ignalum shall they be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of a great sea exceeding many." Listen, this water gives life wherever it goes. You listen, wherever the Spirit of God takes this gospel and applies it to the heart, you can be sure of this. There will be life. That's what He's telling us. Wherever the gospel goes, there's life. You know that in Engedi, you know what that is? The Dead Sea. You know how many fish are in the Dead Sea? None. But God says, when this river flows through Engedi, there shall be many fish. There'll be life. Life where there was death. There's life. Where this sea was obnoxious to all around it. The sea, when it comes to it, will be life, full of life and useful. And so it is with the gospel of Christ when it comes in power to the dead sinner. Matthew Henry says it animates. This intimates the wonderful and blessed change that the gospel would make wheresoever it came in its power. As great a change in respect to both character and condition as the turning of the Dead Sea into the fountain of gardens, when children of wrath become the children of love, and those that were dead in trespasses and sin are made alive, and then this is fulfilled. See, Christ came that we might have life. And whomsoever this gospel of Christ comes in power will have life. Will have life. And what is the evidence of this life? Faith. Faith is the evidence of life. The Spirit of God moves upon the dead sinner and gives life. Conviction of sin floods our souls. And the cleansing stream of the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. This is the river, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It flows, the blood of Christ flows to sweep away our sins. This is the result of this river. And listen, this river provides fishermen. Jesus told His disciples, I will make you fishers of men. You see, God sends preachers to declare His gospel, to preach His gospel, which is our net. We cast the net. Fishing isn't like it was when we do it. I try to do it specifically for one little fish. Those fishermen didn't do that. They would never make any money. They have to cast nets for trying to get many fish. The gospel is a net. We cast it out. And we draw it in. We cast it out. And we draw it in. We cast it out. We draw it in. What for? God says there's fish. God says, I have an elect people. I think of those disciples. They were out there toiling all night, casting and pulling in. And they did it all night. They were just tired. They were rolling up their nets. They're fixing to be done. The Lord comes to them. He said, what are you doing? He said, Lord, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. He said, no, I'll put your net on the other side. He's a professional fisherman. What they do with their understanding of fishery? Cast it aside, and they did as the Master commanded, and they pulled in a great load of fish. The one thing about preaching is we don't know who God's going to pull in. That's not our business. Our business is only to declare the gospel. And where does my net, do I cast my net? Do I cast it on the land or in the sea? Do I cast it in the water or on the dry land? This is where we get our message, from the Word of God. We cast it into the sea, into the book. This is where we come for the Word of God to find about Christ, about ourselves, about life and forgiveness of sins. And we do this over and over and over again. Why? Because our Master bids us to. Now listen, I wouldn't do this if I didn't believe God didn't have fish. If God didn't have an elect people, I wouldn't do this. Now people say they say why preach if there's an elect? Why preach? No, I preach because there is an elect. I preach because God does have a people. Now I don't know who they are, so I just preach. And we're to be faithful to preach, and God gives the increase. And so you see then at this big river of the gospel, you see fishers, you see fish, but you also see something else: trees. Friends, that's you. You are the trees planted of God by the rivers of living water. Trees. Full of what? Fruit. Incorruptible fruit. What is that? The righteousness of Christ. Where do you receive your nourishment from? The river. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The apostle said that we should be rooted and grounded in the gospel. As trees planted of God. Now I'll tell you, the winds of life blow these trees. They blow on us and we are shaken. From the top, we are shaken by the wind. But one thing that doesn't move in a tree is the foundation. We're not moved. We're not moved. And listen, the fruit that we bear is of the Word of God, is of the Spirit of God. And it doesn't fade. It doesn't rot. Peter said that we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You are the trees planted by the river of water. That's the church of God, supplied by this river. Now let me ask you this. Do you desire to go away from this word? Is there anything more valuable in this world than the Word? Not to a tree planted by the rivers of water. It's not. I tell you, there are some who come in and they sprout out. They look like they're going to be a big tree full of fruit. And pretty soon they wither and dry and they go away. Those are weeds. Those aren't trees. Trees continue to abide by the water. Remember what John said. They went out from us. Why, John? Because they were not of us. If they were of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But that they may be manifest that they were not of us, they went out. What's the evidence of an apostate? They leave. What's the evidence of one who is truly God's? They stay. That's it. They have no place that they want to be besides to hear the preaching of the gospel. Therefore, the just shall live, how? By faith. By faith in the Word of God, we abide. Therefore, God commands us, His preachers, comfort ye, my people. How shall we comfort? Speak comfortably unto Jerusalem. Cry unto her, what? The warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received double. Double of the Lord's hand for all her sins. Christ's payment was doubly good. I tell you, it was twice as what was necessary. He put away our sins. He washed us thoroughly. He gave us His righteousness. He imparted to us life. How? By the Word. By the Word. Just to illustrate it, remember that woman that came to the well. What was she looking for? Water. What kind? Earthly. What kind of woman was she? She was a sinner. Not looking for Christ. But the water came to her. And He said, if you knew who it was that asked you to give me to drink, you would ask of Him to give you living water. And you would never thirst again. You would never thirst again. My friends, Christ is the river of living water. So where does this gospel originate? From God. Eternal counsel and covenant of God. How is it manifest? By the Holy Spirit. Through the preaching of the gospel is how God gathers His elect. And who is it that plant themselves by this river? It is the people of God. The elect who believe on the Son of God. Have you drank of this water? Friends, God says you're healed. Now, with the desert, He said that you're healed. And I also want you to see that this river flows out into an ocean. What does that mean? There's no end. I know you think in terms of limits. I do too. How often do you suppose God will forgive me of my sins? How much mercy is available to me? It is an ocean of mercy that never runs dry. That's the gospel river. May God help us to drink from it by faith and believe on the Son of God. Be refreshed. I pray God will bless this to you. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer.